Thanks, Jane. Good morning, everyone. As you may or may not have heard, this morning we are starting a new sermon series looking today and in the next 5 weeks at the letter of 1 Peter and asking ourselves, where does our confidence lie in a complex world? And it is complex, isn't it? Even before a global pandemic arrived, we live every day with big questions. Questions of life and death, questions of where our loyalties lie, of who we are. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the letter of 1 Peter and asking ourselves, where does our confidence lie in all sorts of different areas of our lives, in our relationships, in our sense of identity, in our community, in our world? Grounding questions in a time of complexity and confusion. And this letter helps us gain some perspective. And today we're starting off with the question of confidence and what's foundational to us. Hopefully our confidence is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to hear our reading for this morning. It's the first 12 verses of the first chapter of 1 Peter from the NIV. We're going to get some context afterwards, and it probably would help you if you had your Bible open or on, and we'll read the passage together. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 to 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered through the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours with abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that through the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the times and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who've preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Peter, as we heard about him last week, is writing to believers, not in one particular place or church, as many New Testament letters usually are, but believers scattered, as the map shows, over a particular area, round about modern Turkey. As we've heard, he's writing to people who are in exile, scattered because they are people under persecution. They're suffering for their faith. Keep that in mind. Peter writes to encourage the believers not to lose heart, not to lose faith, and to remind them to hang on in there because they are a special holy people. Well, that really encourages me, and I hope it encourages you, that even though here and now, we're in a different sort of exile today. It's the same call, not to lose heart, not to lose faith, and to hang on in there, to be reminded that we belong to Christ. Our passage today reminds us of the confidence and hope we have because of the faith in Jesus Christ. We're broadly going to be looking at four things which will appear on the screen, and they have the theme of hope running through our confidence this morning. So, our first thought, God establishes our hope in Jesus Christ. Peter's letter is a message of hope. Now, we all need a bit of hope at the moment, don't we? I wonder what you're hoping for. What are the big things and the ridiculous things that you are hoping for today? Well, there's several things. Big things that I'm hoping for and some distant hopes. I hope that we all get a chance of a summer holiday somewhere in August. And I hope that JLS will perform their stadium tour in November, because Becca has tickets and she really wants to go. Maybe not the most important hopes in the world. Perhaps neither of those will happen. And I do have some more serious hopes too. Peter is writing about a sure hope. A hope that holds the future in the present because it's anchored to the past. A hope that holds the future in the present because it's anchored to the past. A living hope that speaks to our present life and our present hard times, our present exiles. And Peter gives the believers a fixed reference point to cling on to. And that's the resurrection of Jesus. As we heard last week with Andy Kind, Peter's darkest moment was when Jesus died. He denied him, but it turned out well. His despair turned to joy on Sunday morning, and he realized all along that God had a plan. A Sunday was coming that would reverse the pain of Friday and the waiting of Saturday. I think Peter sees that we're all in a kind of exile, in a kind of waiting Saturday at the moment. Both in this pandemic and whilst we wait for the Lord to come again, there are hard times. There is racism. There is sin. There is separation. There is pain and there is suffering. And some of that is really unexplainable. But we have a hope that a Sunday is coming. There are more resurrections to come. We have to wait in hope for them. And Peter tells us that that hope is living now and will be maintained into the future in heaven. It's an inheritance that is unshakable. He speaks of an inheritance that comes because you're a child of God. A child of God that receives a treasure worth more than gold or silver. You may know that Israel was a nation that was very fixed on land, and some would say it still is. And on what that meant, on their identity as a people in a place that was chosen. And they'd had a history of being plundered and exiled and overrun and taken into slavery and cast out many times. But Peter is saying, that's not the inheritance we have now. We have a greater inheritance. An inheritance because we are children of God. An inheritance because we are in Christ, and that is never going to be plundered or taken into slavery or cast out into exile. That is firm and unchangeable, and it's kept in heaven for us, and we are kept for it. And that is good news. J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings, described the resurrection as a time when every sad thing becomes untrue I like that. Every sad thing becomes untrue. And I think that's true. There will be a Sunday morning in eternity when all sad things become untrue, where every disease is taken away, where there is no more pain and crying, and God wipes away every tear. We are promised that in the book of Revelation. And that's part of our inheritance that does not fade or perish. Simon's going to talk about the promise of that paradise tonight in our evening service. So do tune into that. And here's another thing. Peter saw in the resurrection that on the worst day, where it looked like God was the least in control, God was actually the most in control. It wasn't just that God won in the end, that God used the apparent defeats as part of his plan. And that speaks to me. What if we saw our life here and now through the lens of the cross and the resurrection? What if we saw today as a foretaste of that Sunday morning when all sad things come untrue? That there is an inheritance coming where death and disease cannot touch us. And so then we see the painful parts as working towards that. And what does that give us? Well, that gives us hope. Hope in the everyday. Peter reminds us, in our human days, when life is throwing us stuff we don't want, that there is still hope. Peter is writing to believers who know what trouble and trials look like. They're persecuted under the Emperor Nero. They're living scattered and in exile. Peter reminds his friends of a hope that endures beyond the trials of today. It's a call to us to see where God's hand might be, even though we can't see it in our here and now. Apparently, there's a phrase that I use a lot, as Debbie and Jim often remind me, that nothing is wasted in the economy of God. And that's true. Scripture says it. In Psalm 56, verse 8, from the Contemporary English Version, we hear this: "You have stored my tears in your bottle and counted each one of them." I love that. That God sees and knows, and none of our pain, none of our trials are wasted. Our trials are not just remembered by God, but God uses them to hone us and our faith. So hang on in there, says Peter. Sunday will come and hope will dawn. So that asks the question, what kind of faith do we have when the rubber hits the road, when life really sucks, when life stretches us in ways that are really uncomfortable? What do we run to first? Is it the arms of Jesus? Is it prayer? Is it food? Is it alcohol? I wonder what it is. Peter's pleading with his people to remember the power of their faith, their salvation life in Jesus, that brings hope and strength to every situation they may face. And finally, he's reminding them that in all of the promises of God, they find their yes in Jesus. Peter is reminding the church scattered that while there may be suffering now, glories will surely follow. And if you're going through the first look, if you go through the first of suffering, then look for the second, look for glory. He points to the hope of glory that we have in Jesus. The Christ of glory is the Christ of the cross. Today we're talking about our hope and confidence in the gospel. Peter is reminding the church of that in the middle of trial, they have a solid ground they can cling on to. the solid ground of a God who loves us so much that even death could not stand in his way. So Jesus takes the penalty of sin onto himself so that we could be rescued from the cost of that sin, which is death. And he literally buys us back from death to give us a new future. So we can be adopted into a family, the family of God. So we can be given hope. So we can be shown love. So we can know what family looks like. So we can have forgiveness and freedom and blessing and promise. And I could go on and on and on because I have confidence in the gospel. Peter is reminding his friends to gaze afresh at the beauty of the cross and all it accomplishes, because that's our source of hope. Hope today and hope tomorrow and hope forever. And he leaves us gazing at the cross because, as verse 12 tells us, there are mysteries there that not even angels understand yet. I love that. If you need some hope today, may I remind you that that hope can be found in Jesus. If you need strength today, can I remind you that that strength is found in the Holy Spirit of God? If you need your life to be freed from the things that hold you down, the place to find that freedom is with Jesus on the cross. So, what does that mean to you here and now in West Kirby or Eastern or wherever you're watching this from? A question for the screen. And Peter, we'll leave that up for a while. Given all that we've heard from 1 Peter and Peter's story, where is your confidence and your hope today? Where does that lie? If you've forgotten your hope in Jesus, if you have a faith that's grown cold or is lukewarm, or you've forgotten your first love, or if you've never said your yes to the promises of God in Jesus and all he's done for you to give you confidence and hope and a future, then Peter implores us to look to the beauty of the cross and be reminded of all that has been accomplished there. Maybe you need to do that today. Maybe all of us need to be re-reminded so we can recommit and place our confidence afresh in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you've not done that, maybe that's something you need to think about today, of Jesus who gave his all for you so that hope could be yours. Where is your confidence today?